so wonderful to come together and sing our favourite carols and spend time with our friends and our church family and celebrate the birth of Jesus, which is what Christmas is all about. I think it's a really good time to reflect on who God is and what he's done for us. Some of us in this room might have sung the same carols every year, heard these Bible readings a million times, and feel like we know this story pretty well. There might be some people here who haven't really heard this story before and might be engaging with the birth of Jesus for the first time. Wherever we are, I think that God wants to speak to us all in a new way through the story. So I'm just going to quickly pray for us. Father God, I pray that my words would be your words and that I would be able to share your message to the people here today. I pray that our hearts would be open and ready to hear from you. Amen. So, over history, God has revealed his character to us in lots of different ways. We can look at the Bible and see all sorts of things. We've got miraculous signs, like God setting a bush on fire to get Moses' attention. He's spoken to prophet Elijah through a small, quiet voice. He's done some amazing stuff, like rescuing a whole nation from slavery. He still speaks to us now and does amazing things and miracles among us. We see people getting healed of physical problems, but also lives changed, you know, healing from addiction, this kind of thing. God is showing us what he's like through what he does. In the Bible, people have also, and still today actually, people get visions from God. I don't know if any people in this room have read Ezekiel or Daniel or Revelation recently, but there are some pretty wacky things about visions from God. Those are books in the Bible where people have a vision from God. God kind of shows his glory in lots of different ways. You get these weird creatures with wings and foreheads and wheels, and it's very strange. And you get, we see images of figures that are made of fire or made of precious stones. And these sound kind of crazy, but they're ways that God shows us his glory and his otherness. And his mystery and his splendour. I could go on about all the ways that God talks to us and reveals what he's like to us, but the fullest picture of the person of God is in the person of Jesus. That was God himself coming to earth. Jesus was the Son of God, and he lived a perfect life. And that is the best picture of God that we're ever going to get, until he comes again. So today I want to focus on how Jesus' birth came about, that we've heard in the wonderful readings, and what this says about the God who sent him. So what can we learn about God from the birth of Jesus? Jesus was born as a baby, as we heard from Adam and from, who else read? Sue, yeah. So yeah, he was born as a baby. As we know, babies are fully dependent on their parents. The parents have to care for them from all the way up until they're a teenager, perhaps. They have to feed them and look after them, nurse them, teach them, sustain them. When we think about who God is, it's kind of strange that he came as a baby. God is the creator of the world. He rules over everything. He threw the stars into space. He could change history in the click of your fingers. He could calm any storm or even destroy a nation if he really wanted to. Yet, when he came to earth, he chose to be born as a tiny, vulnerable baby and to grow up just as any other child, probably going through the awkward teenage years as we all have done. It feels like a mismatch, and that, it's almost contradictory, but this weird kind of tension remains in the rest of the story. Back in the times before Jesus, in the Old Testament, the books of the Bible that were written even longer ago, the people of God had to meet with God in a very specific place. They had to go to the temple, and that place was the home of God's presence. And there were all these requirements about what it had to be like. It was a holy place. It was built to be beautiful, magnificent, full of splendour. And the room that God lived in, only very few people were allowed in. It was so holy, so clean, and rightly so for God, who is supremely holy. So one might imagine that if God came to earth in person, he would have to be born somewhere very clean, very holy, very beautiful, maybe a palace. But not even a, never mind a palace, there wasn't even room in a local hotel. So the first place that God lived when he came to earth was in a stable. And we're not talking a nice countryside barn conversion. This was dirty and smelly. The animals are probably still there, full of germs and things that are not good for a newborn baby. So surely God could have, you know, pulled some strings, organised something a bit better for his own son, a bit more fitting. But why didn't he? What does that say about our God? Well, I believe it says that God so desperately wanted a relationship with mankind that in his mercy and in his compassion, he made this extravagant gesture of love, coming down from glory, perfection in heaven, and stepping down into earth to personally meet us and to serve us. Our Creator came in weakness and in the dependence of a baby. The Holy God chose poverty and the dirt of a stable and the scandal of being born to an unmarried woman. The King of Kings came to serve us, and he lived alongside us, living a human life. This is such a beautiful act of humility, and it's of generosity too, and it shows just how much he loves us, but how much he wants us to know this love too. Through Jesus' birth, God gave every person the opportunity to know him. I just want to share a verse from a book in the Bible. It's written by somebody who was born after Jesus, Paul. He had churches and he was trying to instruct people and tell them about Jesus and about how to be Christians. So this is from Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus was the Son of God. He was in very nature God, but he endured humiliation, he endured pain, rejection, suffering, grief, and eventually death, even though he lived a perfect life. He did this to reach out his hand to us, to his beloved creation, so that he would know us, but that we would know him too, personally and intimately. He made it possible for us to meet with him now, today. We can personally know his love and his salvation and his peace and guidance today in our lives. So I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. Jesus paid the highest price to have a relationship with us. This just shows how much God loves every single person. He went at such extraordinary lengths to reach out to us. He stepped down from the glory of heaven, made himself low, and got all covered in our sin and our dirt and our wrongdoing so that we could know him. He made the first move. How are we going to respond? If you're waiting for God to reveal himself to you, to intervene, to give you something to believe in, then this is it. The birth of Jesus was and still is God breaking into our lives in such a miraculous way. If you want to get to know God, don't leave today without doing something about it. Don't forget. Talk to Jeremy or Sue or Hilton or Michelle or even me, anyone. I think, yeah, we need to, whether we respond, however we respond, I think this action deserves a response. Maybe you know God already, and we've heard about the lengths that God went to meet us. He is so devoted to saving us and to knowing us. Maybe we should reflect on our devotion to God. What does our prayer life, the time that we spend with God, and our action say about how we feel about God and our commitment? We're called to do as Jesus did. And when we think about the radical way that he reached out to us, just how much he sacrificed for us, what does that say about how we should reach out to other people? How should we be willing to sacrifice ourselves to show other people love? I really hope something in this story, whether it's in the readings, the carols, or something that I've said, I really hope something sticks out to you. And I'll encourage you to think about it over the Christmas break. Don't forget what Christmas is really about. Yeah, that's it. I just want to wish you a very happy Christmas. Yeah.
Thank you.